How do you feel about doing your first podcast? Are you nervous or you feel pretty good?
I feel pretty good.
Okay, you look great. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Ashley Adamson. I hope everybody had a wonderful Mother's Day. And I hope everyone is surviving the month of May, which I have found as a parent is like the summer version of December. There's a lot going on. Today, we've got a lot going on here on the show. Executive leadership coach Chantel Bailo back in the saddle, and our executive producer, Betsy Bloom, who moonlights as a high school teacher when she's not full-time producing this show. But Betsy, so can I start there really quick, like before we dive in? The month of May feels insane to me. Like, is it equally chaotic for teachers as it is for parents?
Yeah, it's also Teacher Appreciation Week, which I don't think is a coincidence that they do that in May. They're like, don't quit. Here's a Starbucks gift card and a croissant. What?
Okay, this is a really interesting question because your husband, Mac, helped me with this one time. I said to him, I was like, because he was a teacher at the time. And I said, Mac, I'm trying to get something for the kids' teachers, but it feels weird to give them money. And he said, no, teachers love cash. Give them a check. They don't need another mug. They don't need another, right. Like either make them a card or give them money. That was, so is that right. A fair?
Yeah, I would say a heartfelt message or money. Either of those are wonderful. So if giving money is not something that you are financially able to do, a note will go a really long way and mean just as much. But yeah, I have like a lot of California Pizza Kitchen gift cards that I will never use.
Like thought was there. Thought was there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, happy Teacher Appreciation Week to you.
Thank you.
We appreciate you and all the teachers very much. We could do and should do a Teacher Appreciation Week special. Chantal, how are you surviving? You've got three school-age children.
Yeah, I echo your sentiment. It is like one day at a time, many moving parts, not to mention I have a kid who, you know, has like end of fifth grade ceremonies. I have an eighth grader who has end of eighth grade ceremonies. So it's like pomp and circumstance and meaning and ritual. And it just feels like a to-do list.
Yep. So, my cousin calls it the 1,000 days of May. And I think that's the perfect, like, she's like, it's 1,000 days of May. It never ends. There's always one more thing celebration. And Betsy, you can probably speak to this, like, especially the seniors in high school, they're done. Like, they're like, I know where I'm going to college. I don't really have to listen to you as long as I don't get kicked out of school. Like,
right. My husband, Mac, who's also a teacher, has this theory that once students get into college, they shouldn't come to school anymore, which I'm like, at first I was like, that's absurd. And now having taught seniors, I'm like, that's 100% correct. I had a group of seniors today come in mid-class while I was teaching citation styles. It couldn't have been worse timing with a bubble gun that just went absolutely everywhere. And then my floor was like extremely slippery afterwards when all the bubbles had
They just came in and just started blowing bubbles in your...
Yeah, it kind of felt like I'm being taken hostage.
It's kind of amazing.
It is kind of amazing. I mean, it is the, you just don't give a shit, right? Like it's right. That you just get to that point where you've tried so hard. I remember having that feeling like the senior kicked in where you're like, I know that I need to respect these people and these teachers and my, but also like, what are you going to do?
Right. Well, yeah. It's like they came in, they were like complete nightmares. Mm-hmm. And then the next period, they're like, will you sign my yearbook?
Yeah. Stay cool this summer.
Right. I'm like, it's been such a pleasure getting to know you for the last 2 months, which undid everything.
Oh man, thank you teachers, we love you. Cash and cards. Just a reminder. Okay, well look, we're having a pretty straightforward conversation today, and so I want to say thank you both before we get into this, because ahead of this episode, as if you needed one more thing on your to-do list in the month of May, I gave each of you a homework assignment. So thank you for obliging and indulging me, the last minute homework assignment. I'll set this up by way of saying I have people reach out to me all the time who are interested in starting a podcast. I've had weirdly like four or five people in the last couple days reach out. And the advice I always give them, so I'm just going to send them to this episode now when someone reaches out, this is my advice. Yes, you should start a podcast as long as you aren't doing it to make money. Because if you care about something enough to invest your time and your energy into it, and inviting others to talk about whatever the topic is that interests or makes you curious, then you should start one. Because to me, you guys, and I know I've talked about this to both of you before, but I don't know if I've talked about it necessarily on the show. The biggest surprise that I had and continue to have when Lisa McCaffrey and I first started this thing a couple years ago, we admittedly had no clue what we were doing. We had all of these conversations with, you know, really smart people in the industry who have podcasts or run podcast production companies. You know, and it was all about building, you know, I look back at my notes, it's like, how do you build an audience and how do you maximize downloads and what are the algorithms telling you? And so we spent all this energy on trying to figure out how to get people to listen to the show in the saturated space that is podcasts. But what I realized is that it's not about just getting people to listen to the show. Like the value of doing this is that I get to sit down with you guys for, you know, however much time in the middle of my week when we've got all of this stuff going on and have like really meaningful conversations where we are coming in thinking about things that we want to talk about. So I orient my week differently. I think about stuff that I'm like, oh, I want to talk about that, or I want to ask Chantal or Betsy or Lisa about that. And so the space that it creates is the magic of a podcast. And whether or not anybody listens, you know, that's, I haven't figured that part out. So if you're coming to me for podcast advice on downloads and how to monetize it, you're listening to the wrong gal. But I think more than anything, I've become a better version of myself because it just makes you think and allows you to be more introspective. So on that note, the homework assignment that I gave you guys was sort of akin to this. You guys know that I interviewed my mom last year on this podcast, and that set me on this journey to start interviewing more of my family members. And I've interviewed almost every single one of them in my immediate family, and I've started interviewing some of my extended family. And it's interesting because I think most people have had this idea at some level, like either wishing they had done it with a grandparent while they were still alive, or, you know, oh, I'm going to get to that. I definitely want to go make sure that I get my mom's stories before, you know, while I still can. But the problem that we have is just making the space to do it. So that's what I created the space for you guys to do it last night. And I asked you to both, you know, record some interviews with your family. Betsy, you recorded with your husband, Mac, and Chantal, you actually, you got extra credit because you interviewed all three of your kids. Is that what I understand?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about the takeaways and what you guys thought, but to me, there is something so, I don't know, simple and sacred about sitting down, hitting, you know, record as an audio memo on your phone and just having a list of questions that you can ask someone that you love. Because you're always going to learn something and you're kind of always going to be surprised, even if it's simple and short. So Chantal, I'll start with you. What surprised you about it? What was the experience of it? Wherever you want to go.
Honestly, when I went into it, I did treat it a little bit like an assignment of, all right, this is interesting. Ashley's asking me to do this. I wasn't fully expecting to be surprised, largely because I think we have a culture in our family of we ask each other questions. I try to cultivate that. I do it for a living. I'm a curious person. I want to build that in my kids. You know, we have often a saying in our house is like, great question, you know, and often we'll say it about our own question, right? Like, you know, who do you feel closer with between these two friends these days? Great question. So we are very attuned to great questions happening in our family dynamic and take pride in that. Nonetheless, I think that there is always a level of surprise when you are asking even a familiar question, but often a different question in a particular context, because the context is always changing, right? My kid who 6 months ago might have said he values one thing in a friend, 6 months later says something else. And so, oh, that's super interesting. So that part of it surprised me. I think another part that surprised me was it made me feel a little sad, not because of what my kids shared, but this feeling of I got really attuned to, I'm having some regret, maybe not doing this as a ritual every year, right? Asking a series of questions of my kid on their birthday or at a holiday or something to sort of mark where are they developmentally? Who are they? What do they believe? What's going on in their head? There's that. Is it like an HBO documentary? Do you all know this? Where it's a dad who recorded his daughter every year on her birthday and asked the same questions. Full disclosure, I found it to be slightly underwhelming. So we could talk about that separately. But the idea of it, I thought, was really profound, and this documentation of a person's evolution. And what I realized is I document my kids all the time, right? I mean, they think they're like famous because of the amount of times that it's like, I'm recording you doing this and doing that. But I'm recording what they're doing. It's not a record of like who they are and what they believe. And it's not revealing, I think, of, kind of what they stand for or what they value or what they care about. And so I think that level, it surprised me how much I want to now do that with more regularity for them and for me. And then it made me even a little bit wistful in, oh, I would love to know what my 14-year-old self would have said and my 11-year-old self. And I actually want to unpack that with you too, because I'm like, why do I care about that? Like, why as a middle-aged woman am I curious how my 11-year-old self would have, you know, kind of said what I'm good at? Which is one of the questions you prompted me to ask. So that was like verbal vomit of, and I don't worry, I have more if we're going to do more reflections, no, but those are some high level.
There's so much that you just said that spoke to me that I want to pull on a few of those threads. I will say, did you guys ever write a letter to yourselves, like the older version of yourself? Did you ever do that exercise?
Yes.
So that was, I remember doing that one time, and God knows where the letter is, but I do remember feeling, we had some different creative writing assignments and stuff too, where you were talking to an older version of yourself. And I think what's interesting is that we think, you know, the voice that's in our head is the same voice that's always been in our head since we were little girls. And we don't realize that it's evolving as well, because we still feel like we're the same person. We don't notice when we wake up in the morning, like, oh, I've really changed today. Although I will go back and read my diaries from like the fourth and fifth grade. And there's one where I literally say, like, I have grown up a lot today. Like, I decided I like roller coasters. So I guess you do have those moments and leaps and bounds, but you kind of remember what it was like to be there. But it goes back to, especially when you become an adult, you think that like, this is what it's always going to be, right? That you're kind of always going to be in this headspace. But to be realistic, I mean, what I was feeling a year ago or even 6 months ago is different than, you know, who I am right now, at least if we're doing this right, as we're trying to evolve and we have
It honors growth. And as I'm listening to you, I think it can also just, it just like encourages some like tenderness and compassion for this like life that we've been on, right? Of, oh my gosh, my like 9-year-old self was so, I don't know. I mean, when I'm thinking about my 9-year-old, who it was just this, you know, I'm interviewing her like right before bed. She's got her headgear on. Like, she's got a weird lisp because of it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you are so adorable. And you're like, your stuffies are all around your bed. And just it thaws. There's like a thawing element. Mm-hmm. And I think if we could all have that, to really be able to connect with that version of ourselves and have empathy and kindness and joy for all those different stages, versus a real distance from it. Cause quite frankly, I don't remember what I was thinking and believing. I mean, I have glimmers, but I don't know. I can't really connect vividly.
Yep. Betsy, what about you? Did you, I mean, I feel like you are somebody who probably like journaled and had, you know, a really good sense of exactly how you felt when you were 9 years old.
I will tell you that when the first time that Mac visited my family home while I was taking a shower, he went through my things and read my diary, which I was like, this is a huge violation of privacy.
Huge violation.
But it's just like a series of, first of all, he was like, the grammar was absolutely perfect. Like, I was like using commas for introductory words.
I bet your penmanship, I'm envisioning your penmanship was pretty remarkable too.
But it's just like, I have a lot of compassion for that person because I would only write when I was having bad days. And so I'd be like, hello again. Gave Edward a Valentine and he ripped it up in front of me. Want to die. Check back in soon. His favorite one. Is I went to a Catholic school and like clearly my life was really revolving around the like seasons of Catholicism. And so it starts, well, comma, it's Lent again.
Like, we're back to Lent.
Through the sands of the hourglass, these are the days of our lives. I can't believe it's Lent again.
Oh my gosh. As an aside, Betsy, do you know about Mortified?
No.
Okay. You need to, we'll talk offline. It's where people read their real journals aloud. And I'm just telling you, yours is going to be a real crowd pleaser. So
okay.
You need to audition for Mortified immediately.
So when I first moved to San Francisco, Chantal, a woman who was the comedian, Sarah Faith Altman, I got connected to her through a mutual friend. She, I'm pretty sure, either was part of the founding group of Mortified or did some of the very early on. And she would tell me, she's like, you have no idea the power of people getting up and reading their diaries to a room full of people. Like, it's amazing. Unbelievable.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I cannot
hysterical.
Wait.
I'm going to reach out to her and see if she'll come on the pod.
Yes.
Get Faith on the pod. Okay.
Oh my gosh. Yes. And we should have an outing to Mortified because it does not disappoint. And Betsy, please audition.
There, believe it or not, there's more material.
Oh, I'm sensing we've only scratched the tip of the surface.
I'm gonna have to change names to protect the innocent. There's a lot of bitching about my friends.
Yeah. But I feel like I also, you realize like everything felt like such a big deal, you know, right. Like that you talk about the heartache, like there were so many emotional, like you wonder if they're thinking about you and all this. I mean, I used to like write about my brother's friends and then my brother would read my diary like with his friends. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, everything felt so heavy and so big and so like, and I have compassion for that little girl. Cause I think,
right.
Yeah. You know, and you just have no idea.
And yet, and I listen to you and I'm like, is that what my 70-year-old self is going to be saying about me now?
Totally.
I mean, yeah.
100% it is,
you know, everything feels really big. And so I think having these touch points, just that reminder, as opposed to no, but now it's really high stakes and now it's so important. I mean, my 70-year-old self is like, does it really matter if your kid didn't do their dishes on Tuesday? But how am I instilling values and helping them to have a sense of personal responsibility? You know, so I think on a more existential level, like that, the practice of this is, I think it's really grounding and compassion building.
I remember Marsha Leaf when one of the first episodes we did, you know, her son Ryan has been through a lot. And she said, I wish that I could have gone back and told myself, like, not everything is a big deal. Like everything felt like a really big deal. And some of the stuff was a really big deal. She said, but there was stuff that I wish I could have, you know, with the gift of perspective and looking back, I wish I had just let some of it go. And that's true for every age, to your point, Chantal. I think when we're 70, we'll be listening to this being like, oh my God, we had it all. And we were stressed out about, you know, the like 1,000 things we were doing on the weekends, what we would give to be able to, you know, do that stuff with our kids now. You know, I think that's the other thing too, is being able to just be in that moment and capture it. It's really real. Betsy, before we go too further down some of the things I want to follow up on, Chantal, what was you interviewed Mac briefly before bedtime, because I sent you this at like 8 o'clock your time in Buffalo, New York. What was that experience? And was he like, why are you doing this stupid podcast with Ashley? Please leave me alone.
No, but I will say that I think that I have like a meta takeaway and then like takeaways from the conversation itself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I was like, hey, you just finished tutoring. Like, can we take like 15 minutes to record this conversation? And he was like, can we do it tomorrow? And it's like, because it feels like a thing and then it's not a thing. Like literally I was like, pulled out my phone and pressed record and asked him some questions. And what would we have done in that time? We would have continued to watch like episode 9 of The Sopranos. Like it didn't need to happen at that moment. And I was thinking about how like, Mac is probably the person that I'm most comfortable with in the world. And yet there was like this hesitance on both of our ends to like have a set aside time to go deep. And then when it did happen, it was great. And so I feel like it's like, I get why there's a barrier because it feels like a big deal, but it's so easy to do. And everyone loves talking about themselves once they start. So it's like, nobody's going to be offended that you were curious about their life. So it just like reminded me that I don't need to build these things up so much in my mind. Like when I want to ask someone these questions, I should just pull out my phone and do it.
Yeah. And you know what? There is a real awkwardness though. And you both know I am I mean, this work has, and interviewing my mom and now my family has been so meaningful to me that I'm in the middle of starting a company that is based around this exact thing of just how can you, you know, create those conversations with your loved ones while you still can at these different touch points in their lives. And it is a huge barrier to get people to actually just do it. I'm like, the showing up. And then they always say on the back end, I had no idea what an amazing experience. Like, thank you. That was such a gift. I don't even care about the deliverable and all the rest. It was to have someone sit down and ask you about your life for however long it is, whether it's 5 minutes or 90 minutes. We don't, as a culture, we just don't do it in that way. And so it tells people that their lives matter and that their experiences matter. And I think of kids, you know, something you said, Chantal, that stood out to me, you've got all of these snippets of their life that we all carry around on our phones, right? But they're all disjointed little moments. Like, not only is it that it's not them thinking through, you know, whatever it is and them just doing certain activities, but where do those all go? You know, like, what happens to all of that content in a way that makes it tell some sort of story? So when you actually sit down and start asking people about their lives, it's amazing what comes out. And every single person that I've interviewed in my family, I have been blown away. Like, I had no idea. Or I've heard this story sort of tangentially before, but hearing it from your perspective, like, this is totally different than what the story that I thought was.
A fuller picture of what actually happened.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's such a simple thing. And the biggest block, I will tell for those of you who are listening who need like a sign from the universe that you should go interview that family member that you've been thinking about doing, like, just go do it. We now have phones that make it really easy. And you will not regret it. Like, that's my biggest takeaway. What did you learn anything about Mac, or what were the micro takeaways, Betsy?
Yeah. I mean, I think that some of the questions on there, like, I would never ask on a normal day. So one of them was like, what is your perfect day? And he talked about these hiking trips that he does with his friends, Ashley, your husband, Chris included, and like how rewarding it feels to like accomplish something physically hard. And in my mind, I thought he was going to be like brunch, Bloody Marys.
Mimosas.
That's right. And so for him to say like this feeling of accomplishment was important, like I learned something new about him through a question that I was not expecting to learn something new about him in. Also, one of the questions was, what is the best gift you've ever given? And he was like, oh, I gave my first girlfriend a really good gift. And I was like, maybe think about why that's the answer that you just gave.
There's going to be a follow-up to that answer.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to ask the same question in 6 months and a different answer is expected.
I was like, I'm not going to comment. I just hope that the saying of that was you know, eye-opening for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Did you learn anything, Chantal, from your interviews with your kids besides just the experience of doing it?
I did. Some of the things were not surprising to me, right? It affirmed what I know, but there were a couple of nuggets. One was, so I've talked a little bit about my son on this podcast in the past. He came out of the womb quite sports obsessed. We have many photos of him. You know, what would soothe him in his crib was, you know, snuggling with a baseball mitt or a golf club. So he liked a lot of equipment as a small child, and that has not dissipated. And so the question that you prompted me to ask Ashley in this list was, what do you wish that I understood? And I know he's a competitive kid, and I know he cares a lot about sports. We've also talked about, I don't totally get it. But he did say, and there was a nuance to it, which surprised me, that he was like, I wish you understood how good it feels to win and how terrible it feels to lose. Mm. And I'm like, oh, I get it. And then I'm like, oh no, I don't. And then it was, you know, kind of the line of questioning that went forward. It's like, he's like, just not a lot of people really understand. Oh. And what I took away from that is, oh, like it feels disconnecting when I'm trying to be like, you played great, there'll be another game. You know, my instinct is, you know, you're all good, let's move forward. And it's not to say that I'm like completely dismissive. I can get invested as well. But there was, just a flavor of it that felt different in terms of like, I want you to know what I feel so that in my interpretation is, you know, so that we can feel more connected. And then my daughter, what she shared, not surprising, so wise that it humbles me. My daughter's social, like loves friends, definitely struggles occasionally with FOMO, but is really good just being by herself and finds a lot of joy in that. And so with the same question of what do you wish I understood? And it was, I'll get the wording wrong, but the spirit of it was like how good it can be to be alone. And I'm like, oh, I get it. I like spending time alone, right? But I don't. I mean, it's in kind of scheduled increments versus for her, this ability to just indefinitely be by herself. And that's not my orientation. And yet this like real gift of, yeah, like I wish you understood just how good it can be to be alone. So I think it was really profound.
Isn't that so interesting? And that is profound. And I feel like, you know, for kids, and remind everyone, how old is your son?
He's 11.
He's 11. And your daughter?
14.
14. So I think those ages, right? I mean, I think going back to what we wish we could just go put on our, you know, 11 and 14 year old hats and remember what we wished our parents understood about us. Cause I remember feeling like, you don't get me. Like you don't get me. And I know that we love each other and I know that you love me and I know that you're not actually trying to ruin my life, even though sometimes I feel like you are. But there's this feeling around this disconnection that you mentioned that it just feels like we're living in different worlds. Like you as an adult and me as a child or adolescent or teenager, or whatever, we see the world through very different lenses. And sometimes I think parents, I will speak for myself, you forget that, you know, like I know that my kids are kids and I know that but I'm like, just put yourself in their shoes and remember if you can, it's hard, what it felt like to always being told what to do, like to always feeling like you have no control, to just wanting so hard to prove that you can do something or that your parents see you in a certain way. So I do think that's one of the gifts of being able to just ask your kids these questions. For you to now move forward, Chantal, with thinking about, okay, this win or loss is impacting him even more than I thought. It really matters. And so how can I, like, even just knowing that, and it doesn't mean that you need to show up any differently, but just like that in your head.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying before of, you know, thinking back to childhood, and it's like, these things seem so fraught or meant so much. And yeah, my middle-aged self is like, oh my God, it's one of many games, you know, there is so much more in life that is going to be higher stakes, but not to him. Mm-hmm. I mean, it matters a lot. Like this is a season in his life that's really important, and it can feel, you know, just slightly dismissive to not feel that you're sharing in that with someone else.
Yeah.
I was just going to say the question is so well phrased because it's, what do you wish I knew about you? Like my answer for that would have been different if it was like, what do you wish everyone understood about you? Yeah. But my answer for what I wish my parents understood about me is a different, like he was telling you in a way, like without having to say the next time, like it really hurts my feelings when you don't like take the losses seriously. Yeah. Like that's a really big takeaway that you have now and like your understanding of him that you wouldn't have had if you hadn't had this conversation.
Yeah. And again, I think just to like even put a fine point on it, like I knew that. And yet when you're in a recorded conversation, there's like a level of, it's not like crazy intense or crazy serious, but it's just like, there's like a slight layer of formality to it that I hear it differently or it can land differently with me. And so I think in addition to, you know, Betsy and Ashley, what you were saying of like, there's real obstacles to not do this stuff. Like, don't we all have 100 things? And I actually feel like season 9 of Sopranos is like very good in the line of priorities. Like so there are very real reasons. I think the other thing that I would encourage though, in addition to sort of overcoming the logistical obstacles is I just think like, we can't know what we will find out and And because so often we want to do something because we want to guarantee that it will be worth our time, mm-hmm. worthwhile, meaningful. And it might or might not be, but there will be a surprise. There will be a nugget if we're open to it. And I think just leaning into that is really special.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think one of the things that is, you know, when I think about the mission of trying to get people to just have these conversations and record them with their loved ones, and it's something simple, but it's also a lot. And there's a reason why we don't just do it all the time. But I think kids don't ask their parents questions very often. I should say again, me personally, I look back, there is a lot that I do not know, did not know about my parents growing up, because you think like, my parents exist because like I'm here and I needed parents, you know, like you're here because this is, you are like an extension of what my little world is. And I think that when you start to ask kids like questions about, or when kids ask parents questions about themselves, there's just a lot that you think that you know that you don't know. So I interviewed my 4-year-old daughter last night. She's about to turn 5. So we did like a birthday podcast. So I also gave myself homework. And she just, you know, and we put on these like little mics that I have, and we probably, you know, it was maybe 12 minutes, 13 minutes. And there's a lot of like, what is that ice cube doing? Like, you know, just, and I was starting to get a little bit like, okay, honey, all right, if you don't want to do this, we don't need to do this. And she was like, no, I want to do this. Like, we're doing this. We're having a podcast. You want to do a few more or you want to be done? We can be done.
I
want to
ask you some questions.
Oh, I'd love for you to ask me some questions. Go ahead.
What's your favorite thing to do with me?
It was such a sweet question. And then, you know, I felt like I didn't give a good enough answer. I'm like, well, I like doing everything with you. Like, I like
coloring with you. Have you seen that ice cube over there?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I guess, what do you like doing with me? Because every time I ask you, like, what do you enjoy doing? You say, like, when we go to the playground and we play Tickle Monster, like, that's your main thing. So yeah, I enjoy doing that. But then I realized, I'm like, do I need to do more with her? Maybe I'm not doing enough with her. But one of the things, my favorite answer that she gave of all of the questions was, I said, what do you love about this family? Or she said mm-hmm. something about the family. And I said, what do you love about the family? And she said, and she, without skipping a beat, she goes, I really love that we celebrate all the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it was kind of, again, a very simple answer from a 4-year-old. But what I took that as, which is something that I've talked to my mom as I've gotten older, which is my mom makes holidays really special, like above and beyond. You know, there's dishes and dish towels and certain things and foods and traditions. And sometimes it can like ruin the holiday, it feels like, in the time, because I'm like, we don't need that thing.
So stressful.
So much stress to have it just right at the right time. But and I've told her this as I've started to get older, like, I really appreciate Christmas dishes, and I really appreciate, you know, these little things that make holidays special. And so when Cora said that, I was like, I think, you know, again, I'm interpreting that as, you know, that holidays are special and that they matter, and that it's when we're all together and you feel, you know, in whatever little 4-year-old body, like, you feel that. So, yeah, I have started, it was the first one I did with my daughter. I recorded Collins on his birthday when he turned 7 this year. I like brought him to school late, and we went to sat outside on a park bench and recorded a podcast that was amazing, you know. And I asked him to, the one cool thing if you're doing this with your kids is to ask them to give themselves, like, what do you wish your, you know, in 20 years, if you were listening to this, what would you want to tell yourself, or what advice would you give for your adult self? And there can be some really interesting answers there as well. And I think being able to understand and have kids think about, like, yes, there's this moment in time, but there's going to be a different version of you at some point in the future. And what do you want to remember about this time in your life? Because you may not remember it. So yeah, I mean, I could go on and on and all about this. I would say we will leave some questions in the notes so that if you are, you know, feeling like you want to interview your kids or a parent or a loved one, I just encourage you to do it. Because there's never a good time. Like, you never just randomly have half an hour with somebody and nothing to do. Like, it doesn't work that way. So you have to make the space.
Yeah. And it's not hard to make the space. The only right. thing that's hard is thinking about making the space. Yeah. It sort of like reminds me about what you were saying with the podcast. Like you set aside this time and you have these conversations and you experience growth and you do it because it's on the schedule. Right. And like all you have to just put it on the schedule and then it'll be there and yep. you'll be grateful.
You will. You will never regret doing it. There's no question. The last thing I want to say, and I did want to share this because I've told both of you, but I think it underscores, you know, maybe it's why I wanted to do this episode today, but I had a very real life experience of understanding how important it is to record conversations with our loved ones. My dad, I hope I'm not violating any HIPAA laws here, but my dad had a stroke about 2 weeks ago, and it was a really obviously very intense thing. He is okay. He's home. He's doing well. But there was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours that we weren't exactly sure what was going to happen and what it was going to feel like on the other side and all of the rest. And I told him when I saw him the next day that I had, in addition to like that horrible grief and the carpet being pulled out from under you and just all of those feelings that you have when inevitably you are going to get those phone calls in your life, I had a very deep peace that I felt that was, I can only attribute it to the fact that ever since I was a little girl, he has made a really big deal about leaving nothing unsaid. And his whole thing is we save our best stuff for people's eulogies and we should tell them specifically how and why we love them and what they mean to us while they're here. And, you know, I think we do that in cards and we texts and, you know, we here and there, but to really get real and be specific is something that we don't do very well. My dad has always been amazing at that. And I recorded a conversation with him over the summer that I remember when we finished it, I was like, I'm so glad that I have this. I'm always going to have this to include like, hey dad, probably the time that all of your kids are going to be watching this together is when you're not here anymore. Can you tell us something that will make us feel better? Mm-hmm. And he totally had the answer that's going to make us feel better when we're all sitting there watching it one day, whenever that day comes. So it was a reaffirming to me that like this work, it was almost like a sign from God and the universe being like, nope, this does matter. Keep going, keep doing it, because I just had the most personal experience of understanding the value of making sure that you don't wait to do this exact thing and just make the time, sit down, ask your parents and your loved ones and your kids and your friends questions. And even if it just sits on your phone and you don't pull it out for another 10 years or whatever, like it will matter and it will change your relationship with them and you'll learn something. Mm-hmm. So that's, thank you guys for being willing to do this. And I would say, Chantal, the sadness that you felt about, you know, wishing you had done it before, like the good news is you didn't start this when they're in college. Like you can still.
And for listeners whose kids are in college, you can start then. Right, I mean, that is the reality, right? That I mean, even we can start now. I mean, right. Betsy, what you and Mac did, if you're even doing that every year in your relationship with each other, because that's the other mental model. I think sometimes it feels like, oh, but again, I'm like, I'm done. Like this is the extent of my evolution as a human.
Right.
And yet we know like there is more to come that is going to change us and grow us. And I think there is, you know, again, my 70-year-old self might, there just might be something important about hearing what I have to say now.
Right.
Frankly, it seems a little silly. Aren't I kind of like fully baked, but I'm probably not.
Right.
I'm going to send this episode to you when you're 70 and I'm going to snip out that part right there and you're going to be laughing. You're going to be like,
I'm going to be laughing and I'm going to not be able to use the technology platform that you send it to me on. So I'll probably never open it. if my parents are any indicator of how to navigate technology at that age, I wish us all well in being able to access anything.
I think about this all the time.
Oh God. Amen. All right. Well, I appreciate you guys so much. And thanks as always for making the space. Cause like I said, every time we do this, I know we all have a million things going on in our day, but this is always the best hour of my day whenever we can make it happen. And I just, this stuff means a lot to me and maybe someday we'll go back and listen to these or maybe we won't, or maybe our kids will listen to these one day and understand us a little bit better, but I think it all matters. So
Thank you for the forcing mechanism and for making us do it, allowing us to do it. It was very cool.
Good. All right. You guys have a good rest of your day. And Betsy, good luck. Godspeed on the last couple weeks of May.
Thank you. Send cash.
Hi, I'm Cora Copley. Today is May 6, 2023.
And what's exciting about the fact that it's May 6th?
There's only three more days until my birthday.
That's what I was thinking too. What is one of your favorite memories of you and me? What's something that we've done with?
I don't know if this is Dada or you, but getting to have a milkshake at this like special place and having a me and you time. That was Dada.
That was Dada. Okay. That's a good memory of Dada. What do you love about your Dada?
But he's super sweet and plays Take a Mother with me. Now what's your favorite sports?
Yoga? Does that count? I like doing yoga. No, that doesn't count. Okay. I like soccer. I don't really play that many competitive sports anymore, which is kind of sad. I miss it. I used to
Why
run.
Do you,
I don't really
why are you not anymore. Starting to play it?
Because I don't have time.
Why can you not just skip all of your work and do it later?
Great question. What do you hope you're like when you grow up?
I hope I'm nice to my kids.
I know that you'll be nice to your kids. Not so nice. Do you think I'm nice to you? Yeah. You think sometimes I could be nicer?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and now you can say, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
We'll see you next year.
We'll see you next year.
Boom. Mic drop.